All right. So Joanne Carr is here, and she's going to tell us a story about some aspect of her time as an academic staff member. So go ahead, Joanne.
Okay. It's very hard to decide what aspect of academic staff to tell, because I was on campus for 37 years and retired from the School of Education, and then have been back now for 10 months as interim secretary of the academic staff. But I think one of the major things that I think about when I think about all of that time is the incredible changes on campus and the impact it's had on academic staff. Even just sitting here looking out the window, the buildings around us are new. These are buildings that really are new homes for many, many academic staff members. Academic staff members have been involved in the development of these buildings and of the programs in these buildings. And do you have a prompting question or?
No, unless there's a specific, I mean, you're looking outside at WID.
Right.
Being from, I always forget, School of Education or College? School of Education.
School of Education.
I mean, your building.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think we should talk about
that.
Okay,
all right. In looking at the School of Education building on Bascom Hill, academic staff played a major role in the design and development of that building. From individuals at FP&M, whom you would think about, but also so many staff members who support services in that building. And I was very involved as we looked at the development of the technology and the learning spaces in that building, and tried to, as academic staff members, bring our technical knowledge of learning spaces and technology and equipment and what's emerging, our knowledge of learning styles of students at all levels, and try to match that with faculty members. And one of the big conflicts, hard to believe it was a huge conflict, was trying to meet the needs of, in designing a large lecture hall space, when some faculty members were very, very tied to, I must have a chalkboard and I must have the traditional seats mm-hmm. with the arms to lift up, and other faculty members were looking for a flexible space and didn't want to have a chalkboard around because too much chalk dust and technology aren't that compatible. And so members of the academic staff whom I worked with actually did some field trips to places that were known to have very, very flexible spaces, new spaces for learning. And one of their field trip included the Cisco Systems headquarters, because it has very, very flexible spaces for learning. And there were actually things that we've seen there that are future, what we anticipate for the future. So the role of academic staff in a wide range of abilities and technical knowledge in the development of buildings is something that I don't know is fully recognized or realized throughout the campus community.
I agree. Joanne, I have one more thing I want to ask.
Okay.
Why did you choose to come back to be interim secretary of academic staff?
Well, that's also sort of an interesting story. Donna Silver, who was the most recent secretary of the academic staff, has had some health issues. And when I was originally asked to come back, the thought was that Donna would be back in 2 to 3 weeks. And so I came back thinking it was just sort of what I think of it was kind of a Band-Aid approach. I'll come back. I'll be there. I'll make sure the office is going to run. Keep running. And then it became apparent that Donna's recovery time was going to be longer, and I began to think of my role as a bridge between when Donna left, had taken leave, and when she would come back. And then so that was an open-ended time period again until December, when Donna realized that her health wouldn't allow her to return. And so now I'm looking at myself as somebody who is building the services of the office and the capacity of the office for the next secretary of the academic staff. So I came back because I thought it was short term. I stayed because they needed somebody who was flexible with their time frame, and because I've really enjoyed learning much more about the diversity of academic staff and about academic staff governance and about the history of academic staff governance by reviewing a lot of the documentation in the office.
Joanne, are there any specific events or committees, things that you were a part of that you might want to mention here?
That I'm part of now or?
But just right. Sort of whatever. Oh, I mean, you've been here for
yes,
a certain number of
yes,
years.
Yes. I think one group that I participated with that I think is again, a really strong example of the impact of academic staff and of academic staff governance is COMETS. COMETS actually came about because of academic staff governance in that one of the things that the Academic Staff Office and Governance supports are professional development grants. And Carol Turner wrote a professional development grant to bring in an outside speaker to have a day-long event to bring together a lot of people involved in learning technologies and media support across campus who had not really connected before. And that event served as the impetus for this group, COMETS Community of Media and Community of Educational Technology Support, that has really become a very, very strong advocate and voice for the integration of technology services across campus. And most of the members of COMETS are members of the academic staff. And so it, as the word implies, it's really allowed for the development of a much stronger community of people from all areas of campus, both in terms of a very broad sense of this is educational technology and very, very narrow areas of specialty, so that somebody who deals with the design of learning spaces and the School of Medicine and Public Health finally has a way to connect with the person developing learning spaces at the Chazen. So I think that's probably one of those examples of the power of academic staff governance and supporting academic staff and of academic staff really developing as a community and making substantial differences across the campus.
Joanne, I think since we've moved to sort of a mini oral history interview here, there's one thing I do want to ask.
Okay.
I'm always interested in how people got here.
Okay.
So how did you get to UW-Madison?
I got to UW-Madison because my husband applied for school here. And we came here to Madison not realizing how difficult the job market was supposed to be here. And so we arrived in Madison. He had been admitted to school. I did not have employment. I had already finished my degree. And the first week in town, and I had applied to a number of places here. The first week in town, we were janitors in a donut factory. The second week in town, we were cooks in a carnival cook tent. The third week in town, I got a position as a debt collector. And the fourth week in town, I was offered the position as librarian in the School of Education. So, yes, I didn't know it was supposed to be hard to get a job here. I just came and applied, and that's how I started. And we intended to just stay until he finished his degree. He did not complete his program, so we're still following that guideline. So whenever he finishes his degree. And I was lucky enough that for most of my career on campus, I worked in the School of Education, actually in the same building, almost all the years on the same floor, and was in a facility that grew and developed and allowed me to grow and develop with it. So I had an incredibly rich and varied career without moving off of the third floor of the teacher education building.
Joanne, thank you.
You're welcome.
Very much. I appreciate it.